ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। करोति वाचलं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं परमानन्दमाधवम्। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे इन द इवनिंग भगवद गीता क्लास वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट नंबर 24 फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भगवद गीता एज इट इज। अव्यक्तम अव्यक्तम व्यक्तिमापन्नम अव्यक्तं व्यक्तिमापन्नम् मन्यते माम बुद्धयः परं भावं अजानन्तो ममाव्ययम् अनुत्तमम् Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Unintelligent men who do not think, who do not know me perfectly, think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. Purport. Those who are the worshippers of demigods have been described as less intelligent persons. And here, the impersonalists are similarly described. Lord Krishna, in his personal form, is here speaking before Arjuna. And still, due to ignorance, impersonalists argue that the Supreme Lord ultimately has no form. Yamunacharya, a great devotee of the Lord in the disciplic succession of Ramanujacharya, has written a very appropriate verse in this connection. He says, Tvam Shila Rupa Charitair Param Prakrishtai Satvena Satvikataya Prabalascha Shastre Prakhyata Daiva Paramartha Vidam Mataischa Naiva Sura Prakritayah Prabhavanti Bodham. My dear Lord, devotees like Vyasadev and Narada know you to be personality of Godhead. By understanding different Vedic literatures, one can come to know your characteristics, your form and your activities. And one can understand thus that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, the demons, the non-devotees, cannot understand you. They are unable to understand you. However expert such non-devotees may be in discussing Vedanta and the Upanishads and other Vedic literatures, it is not possible for them to understand the personality of Godhead. This is from Stotratna, verse number 12. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the personality of Godhead cannot be understood simply by the study of the Vedanta literature. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord can the personality of Supreme be known. Therefore, in this verse it is clearly stated that not only are the worshippers of demigods less intelligent, but those non-devotees who are engaged in Vedanta and speculation on Vedic literatures without any tinge of true Krishna consciousness are also less intelligent. And for them, it is not possible to understand God's personal nature. Persons who are under the impression that the absolute truth is impersonal are described as abuddhaya, which means those who do not know the ultimate feature of the absolute truth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that supreme realization begins from the impersonal Brahman and then rises to the localized super soul. But the ultimate word in the absolute truth is the personality of Godhead. Modern impersonalists are still less intelligent, for they do not even follow their great predecessor, Shripad Shankaracharya, who has specifically stated that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Impersonalists, therefore, not knowing the supreme truth, think Krishna to be only the son of Devaki and Vasudev, or a prince, or a powerful living entity. This is also condemned in the Bhagavad Gita 9.11. Avajananti mamudha manushim tanumashritam. Only the fools regard me as an ordinary person. The fact is that no one understands Krishna without rendering devotional service. And without developing Krishna consciousness, the Bhagavatam confirms this. Athapi te deva padam bujadvaya prasad leshanu grihita evahi janati tatvan bhagavan mahimno nachane ekopi chiram vichinyan. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the supreme personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. One cannot understand the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna or his form, quality or name simply by mental speculation or by discussing Vedic literatures. One must understand him by devotional service. When one is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, beginning by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then only can one understand the supreme personality of Godhead. Non-devotee impersonalists think that Krishna has a body made of this material nature and that all his activities, his form and everything are Maya. These impersonalists are known as Mayavadis. They do not know the ultimate truth. The 20th verse clearly states, Kames tester ritagyana prabadyante anya devata. Those who are blinded desires unto the different, it is accepted that besides the supreme personality of Godhead, there are demigods who have their different planets, and the Lord also has a planet. As stated in the 23rd verse, Devan Devajajo Yanti Madhabhakta Yanti Mamapi. The worshippers of demigods go to the different planets of the demigods, and those who are devotees of the Lord Krishna go to the Krishna Loka planet. Although this is clearly stated, the foolish impersonalists still maintain that the Lord is formless and that these forms are impositions. From the study of Gita, does it appear that demigods and their abodes are impersonal? Clearly, neither the demigods nor Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, are impersonal. They are all persons. Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and he has his own planet, and the demigods have theirs. Therefore, the monistic contention that ultimate truth is formless and that form is imposed does not hold true. It is clearly stated here that it is not imposed. From the Bhagavad Gita, we can clearly understand that the forms of demigods and the form of the Supreme Lord are simultaneously existing, and that Lord Krishna is Satchit Ananda, eternal blissful knowledge. The Vedas also confirm that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Anandamayo Bhyasat, or by nature of full of blissful pleasure. And in the Gita, the Lord says that although he is Aja or unborn, he still appears. These are the facts that we should understand from the Bhagavad Gita. We cannot understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be impersonal. The imposition theory of impersonalist monist is false as far as the statements of Gita are concerned. It is clear herein that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna, has both form and personality. Quite extensive purport by Srila Prabhupada. I'd like to seek the blessings of all the senior devotees that I can glorify Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada used to say, that if one criticizes or blasphemes the Mayavadis, then he makes rapid advancement. So I am in much greed of that. Once one of the devotees, they asked Srila Jayadvaita Mahavir Maharaj that why not compile a book on refuting Mayavad? So he looked strangely to the devotee and said, what is Bhagavad Gita then? He said, Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is filled, is replete with so many arguments that can refute Mayavad into pieces. There is no other need of any other treatise, but the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is written by Srila Prabhupada is enough to give Mayavadis a piece of their mind. As we hear Srila Prabhupada giving extensive explanation of what Mayavadi means. Mayavadis are impersonalists, as the word comes, impersonal. They don't believe in the personal form of the Lord. They believe that the Nirakar Brahma Jyoti is the ultimate. And when Maya, that is the illusion, covers that Brahma Jyoti, then the Lord, which appears in this material world, he comes in the form, and that form is illusion. That's why they are called as Mayavad, or propagators of the philosophy that everything is illusion. The famous statements that the Mayavadis use are Aham Brahmasmi or Sarva Khalvidam Brahma, that everything is Brahman. Everything is the Supreme Brahman. Now when we go to the root of this philosophy, basically when somebody doesn't want to be accountable, just like there is a benevolent father who has so many kids, for whom he takes utmost care. But suddenly one day, a son turns to the father and rebels against the father, no more accepting the supremacy of the father, leaving him and going to a distant place where he tries to imitate his father. He tries to imitate the father's characteristics and tries to harness that desire that he is as strong or as benevolent as his father is, and he is the controller, the enjoying propensity. But the Lord or the father very benevolently, he very secretly comes to that village, and with so many different indications that come from the Vedic literature, he's trying to give a signal to that rebellious son that I am your father, and your advantage is only when you surrender unto me. But as the consciousness of that son is contaminated with the mood of being enjoyer and not accepting the father as supreme, he relents the father's presence also. Even if the father comes in front of him, he sees that this father does not exist. He is not the supreme. I am the supreme. Same thing happened in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the mere presence, as we see that Lord Krishna is saying this, it means that that time there were people who were claiming that they were God and that the Supreme Lord is impersonal. And very soon, I am, who is a chunk of matter, after liberation, will become the same Lord, the same impersonal. When Lord Krishna was in Dwarka, at that time, Pondrak, He put on all the false arms and claimed himself to be Vasudev and went on to so much extent, although the Lord has come with his beautiful form and beautiful pastimes to remind the rebellion living entity of his eternal relationship with the Lord, but still he was hell-bent on declining the supremacy of the Lord. And not only that, he sent a letter saying that, O Krishna, O Vasudev, I am the original Vasudev and you should hand over all the symbols to me or fight with me. Of course, the Supreme Lord, being all-powerful, defeated Pandrak. But the point is that at that time also, the impersonalists existed. And that's why the Lord is clearly stating here, one of the landmark verses in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which refutes this Mayavad philosophy, where they consider that the Lord was unmanifest, that is, a formless light, a Brahma Jyoti, and then he appears into a person, a Vyakti, Avyaktim, Vyaktim Apannam. From Avyakti, he has become Vyakti. So the Lord is refuting the statement by saying that a person who claims this is considered Abhuddhaya. Just verses before, he is saying that the devotees who worship demigods out of their materialistic desires are less intelligent. But here, Krishna is saying that people who think that I am impersonal are not intelligent at all. Or in other words, they are fools. So the Lord is giving a big slap on the faces of Mayavadis by saying this verse that whoever thinks that I was unmanifest first and have manifested now. Srila Prabhupada also in the purport mentions that it is not that the Lord's feature is impersonal. Yes, his one feature is impersonal, but that is preliminary. Then when a transcendentalist, he advances, he goes to the level of super soul. And from the super soul, he goes to the level of Bhagwan, where he knows that the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, is a person with features. As in the Christian faith, they say that the man was made in the image of Lord. The Lord loved his human beings so much that he gave his own form to them. Not that he was impersonal first and then he came in them, in between them, with a personal form. Basically, the basis is that I am the enjoyer. Don't disturb my enjoyment. As I said first, that when somebody is accountable, Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Shri Lalita Vishakha Shri Gopal Shri Gonitaya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Just like if somebody wants to discipline a child is born, and if a child is told that your mother is this huge light here, how is that person or how is the child going to get disciplined? For disciplining the child, you need a mother who loves him when he does something nice, who chastises him when he does something wrong, who instructs him when he is doing all wrong things. Just as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, he took a part of Mayavadi and he started telling to his mother. What he did was, his mother used to give him beautiful sweets called as sandesh, made up of paneer. So his mother served him that and she went. But when she came back, she saw that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting on the pile of pots and was eating dirt. So his mother asked, What are you doing? Why are you eating dirt? So, posing as an impersonalist who considers everything one, I am one, you are one, so he told his mother that if this dirt is one, if this dirt has come out of earth and this sandesh has also come out of earth. So I am eating the same thing. What is the earth and what is sandesh? It's the same thing. Everything is one, right? So if I'm eating dirt or if I'm eating sandesh, ultimately I'm eating earth because everything is one. So hearing this philosophy, Sachi Mata, who was a simple household lady, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that even a simple lady can understand the folly behind the impersonalist philosophy. माटी रविकार अन्न खाइले देह पुष्ट होय माटी खाइले रोग होय देह यायशय. Replying to the Mayavad idea of the child philosopher, Mother Sachi said, my dear boy, if we eat earth transformed into grain, our body is nourished and it becomes strong. But if we eat dirt in its crude state, the body becomes diseased instead of nourished, and thus it is destroyed. Mati ravi kara ghate pani bhari ani mati pande dhari jabe shoshi jaye pani. In a water pot which is transformation of dust, of dirt, I can bring water very easily, but if I poured water on a lump of dirt, the lump would soak up the water and my labor would be useless. So a simple household lady is telling Nimai that yes, everything is one, but everything is variegated transformation of that same one or the same supreme, but it is not one in absolute sense because it is individual. It has its own purpose and it has its own individuality, its existence. Just like when the parrot, at the evening, we know that all the birds, they rush towards a tree and take shelter of the tree in the night. Just as we see, when we sit in the terrace, we see so many parrots flying towards the tree just behind there. But when the parrot goes into the tree, it looks like, because the parrot is green and the tree is green, so it looks like that the parrot has merged into the tree and has become one. But in actuality, what has happened? The parrot is there enjoying the tree. Similarly, the living entity after liberation, when he goes to the spiritual world, he doesn't want to become one with the Lord, but he enjoys with the Lord, maintaining his own individuality. The Mayavadis many times propose that we are just like the water drop, and the sea is like the water drop. And when the water drop mixes with the water drop, it becomes one. But Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that the less intelligent, they don't know that beyond the water, inside the water, there is a variety of different living creatures, or the water, the marine life inside. So there is variety also there. Everything is not one. All the impersonal philosophers, they worship the Lord Shiva. Normally Mayavadis are worshippers of Lord Shiva. In Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Prachetas are heading towards the Kailasha Parvata to perform austerities for self-realization as instructed by their father, what happens? As they are going towards Kailash, the Bhagavatam gives detailed explanations of what exactly is the beauty of Kailash. So many different birds, so many different lotuses. Not only it is mentioned that there are lotuses, but lotuses which are different colors. Some are blue, some are red, some bloom in the day, some bloom in the night, and different kind of animals which move around all over the forest. So Prabhupada says that the worshipable deity of Mayavadis, even his abode has variety. So how can these fools say that everything is one? And moreover, when Prachetas go ahead, they meet Lord Shiva with all his associates, and there Lord Shiva instructs them how they should perform devotional service. He describes in great detail the person form, the personality or the personal form of the Lord, which is so beautiful. Each and every limb is described in so much detail. But we understand that the folly with the philosophy of Mayavad is that they want to be the enjoyer. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, when he first met Srila Prabhupada, he used to have an inclination to like the impersonal form of the Lord. So when he met Srila Prabhupada first time, he asked, what exactly is the Supreme God? Is he impersonal or personal? Prabhupada said only one statement. And with that one statement, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj surrendered his whole life, because he understood that this person knows the motivation of my question, or the ultimate motivation in worshipping the impersonal form. Prabhupada asked, what do you want to become? Do you want to become God, or do you want to serve God? Just a simple statement. An impersonalist wants to become God and wants to enjoy. But a devotee who performs a devotional service to Lord Krishna wants to serve the Lord and never wants to become the Lord. He always wants the Lord to enjoy. Just as we say that we are gods. The Mayavadis say we are gods. G-O-D-S. But devotees say we are gods. G-O-D apostrophe S. We belong to Him. Aham Brahmasmi. They also say Aham Brahmasmi. But what do we say? The devotees say that Aham Brahmasmi. Yes, I belong to the Supreme Brahman. I am His part and parcel. And I am meant to serve Him. My ultimate purpose in life is to serve Him, without which I am just going to meet with frustration and depression. Nothing else. Now, what are the dangers of this Mayavad philosophy? This philosophy exists all over India. Not all over India, but is spread all over the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that Mayavad is so dangerous. He says, Jivera Nistara Lagi Sutra Kaila Vyas. For the liberation of the living entity, Shivyasadev, he compiled so many Vedic literatures. But these impersonalists have given such interpretation to those Vedic literatures that they have been tinged with the philosophy of Mayavad. So next he says, Mayavad Bhashya Sunile Hoy Sarvanash. He is saying that the danger is so bad, because even if a resident of a spiritual world gives oral reception, Srila Prabhupada says, to the philosophy of impersonalism, which only propagates centering yourself, doing everything for your own selfish desires, that after liberation I shall enjoy. Let me enjoy now, just a covered atheism by so-called worship of the Lord, but by that worship, very soon I shall become the Lord. The folly of Mayavad, or the dangers of Mayavad, Srila Prabhupada, he says, the dangers of speaking to Mayavad, one of our devotees was saying that it's very dangerous to speak to Mayavad, although the Mayavadis, they glorify the devotees. But devotees, they heavily criticize the Mayavadis. Why? Because Mayavadis are quacks. You know, what is a quack? Just by observing something, somebody becomes a doctor. But devotees are like the doctors. And doctors will definitely criticize quacks. But the devotee gives a word of caution, saying that, be careful. Why? Because Mayavadis, if you're going to treat them, they are like so advanced in their disease, it's like brain tumor. You know, you have to be really, really specialized to talk to Mayavadis. But what is, if you can only, speak to people who have, you know, problems of, oh, I have problem with my girlfriend, or I have problem with watching cinema. No, very elementary level. We have to be very, very careful while speaking to Mayavadis. Those are, the elementaries are like, you know, just cold and cough. He's saying that. But Mayavadis are like very dangerous to talk to them, because they are like people with brain tumors. Brahmajyoti, it's mentioned that Brahmajyoti is worser than hell. Why? Because in hell at least you can chant Hare Krishna and you get association of Yamraj. The example is of Janak Maharaj, who went to hell, and by his very presence, the destiny of people who stay there changed. But in Brahmajyoti, very difficult to chant. It is like a hospital where everything is white. So that is the way where the, in the Russia, they used to punish the people who used to not follow the communist regime. They used to send them to a place where everything is white. The color of the walls is white, your clothes are white, and the food served is white, the plate is white, the glass is white, everything is white. So seeing it, looking at everything white, one becomes crazy. That is the idea. But the impersonalists don't know that just by going to impersonal Brahmajyoti, which is only light everywhere, they'll not be able to experience the ananda part of the living entity's quality. As Krishna is Satchit Ananda, as mentioned by the secondary creator Brahma, Ishwarah Paramaha Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He's saying that Lord Krishna is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. So similarly, if the living entity has that quality of Satchit Ananda, so that Ananda aspect of the quality cannot be experienced. Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, the impersonalists do not accept Krishna and Krishna's life. They think it is Maya. There is no Ananda. Therefore, they come down again. They don't experience pleasure there. They have to come down back. Just like there's a story of Puna Mushtik Bhava. A mouse goes to a sadhu and says, please, you know, I have a miserable existence. Change my existence. I no more want to be a rat. So the sadhu says, okay. So he makes him to a cat. So looking at cat, he says, oh, my dogs are behind me now. Please, give me a different existence. So he said, what do you want to become? He said, make me a tiger, because tiger is the king. So the sadhu says, okay, fine. Become. Then again, he becomes a tiger. But after becoming tiger, he starts looking at the sadhu in a different perspective. He starts looking at the sadhu as his own food. But looking at that, the sadhu again curses the rat, saying that Punar Mushtik Bhava. So similarly, the living entity who has so many materialistic desires, if accepts impersonal philosophy and worships the Supreme Lord with that motive and goes to the Brahmajyoti, but there, if he doesn't get Ananda, he falls back and starts, as Prabhupada says, you know, starts opening hospitals and schools. The personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is so attractive, is so dear to the hearts of the devotees, that when they glorify the Supreme Lord, everybody is attracted. Just like His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj, when he started preaching, when he was going to Africa, when he reached Africa, he had no place to stay. So he ultimately had to stay in an ashram of a so-called Hindu organization. The basis was impersonal philosophy. Actually, this is prevalent in India so much that people talk about worshipping the Lord, but at the back, there, at the background, the whole idea is to become the Lord, or having an impersonal philosophy. The same thing, this Muni had the same inclination. All day he used to do this bhajan, and all his disciples were really bored. Somehow they got attracted to him, but they were bored. So, because he saw that, okay, this foreigner sadhu has come. So, no problem. Let him stay. And he allowed him to give a lecture. And Bhaktidat Maharaj, as I don't know if you know him, but he was such a charismatic speaker. What an amazing, you know, diction. What amazing conviction. All the disciples started getting attracted towards him. And his explanations of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. They started demanding to the Guru that we want his more classes. And the Guru started thinking, oh my God, very soon I'll be without any disciples. So he told Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, I'm sorry, you have to leave. I can no more accommodate you. So Bhaktivedanta Maharaj said, just 2 more days, I will find an accommodation. Very soon, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj incorporated ISKCON in Africa. And 6 of these disciples of this impersonalist, they joined Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. And today, till date, they are practicing devotional service under his, you know, as his disciples. So such is the power of the description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kapil Dev instructs to Mother Devahuti that one should very diligently meditate on what? Not on the impersonal form of the Lord, but on the limbs of the Lord. He says, Kirtanaya Tirthayasasam Punya Shloka Yashashkaram Dhyayaj Devam Samagrangam Yavan Chayvate Manaha. The glory of the Lord is always worth singing, for His glories enhance the glories of His devotees. One should therefore meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and upon His devotees. One should meditate on the eternal form of the Lord until the mind becomes fixed. Here, the point is stressed, Samagrangam. He is not saying on the impersonal feature, but on the limbs. How can an impersonal form have limbs? It's clearly stated here that he has a form and he has beautiful limbs. Once Gurudas Prabhu had to go to meet an impersonalist on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. But there, somehow he could not control himself by listening to the impersonalist philosophy. And then he shouted to the impersonalist and saying that if everything is one, then why don't you eat rather than a rasgulla stool? Because stool is earth and rasgulla is also earth. Everything is one, right? Stool is earth, stool is one and rasgulla is one. Then why don't you eat the stool? The impersonalist got so hurt, and was so shocked. He went to Prabhupada and said, what have you taught your disciples? Is this the way somebody speaks to, you know, sages? To sadhu, somebody speak like this? So Prabhupada said, I'll talk to my disciples. But when in private, he told Gurudas Prabhu, what was that example? Rasgulla and stool? Very nice example. You know, he liked that. He said that it's very good that you've given such example. But when Gurudas Prabhu came to know that this impersonalist had complained to Srila Prabhupada, so once walking on the road, it was cold. So he saw that same impersonalist covering himself with a thick blanket. So he pulled the blanket and took out a thread. He said that everything is one. A thread is one and this blanket is one. So take this thread and cover yourself. So we can understand that by knowledge, by the Vedic knowledge given by Srila Prabhupada, one becomes so equipped that the simple philosophy of Mayavad can be broken. Mayavad philosophy is definitely very, very complex. During the times of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once a Mayavadi sannyasi came to their camp. And he started debating with the brahmacharis. And as the brahmacharis could not refute his arguments, he almost defeated them. So he said, though they told him, why don't you please talk to our Guru Maharaj? So he came in their camp. First day, he listened to the talk of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, spiritual master of His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
that Sannyasi was astounded by the talk of Bhaktisiddhanta. He could not speak anything. What to ask, any arguments? He was dumbfound. So disciples are looking at him and saying, ask your questions. But he just could not ask anything. So they said, okay, tomorrow you come with the questions written and then you can ask. So next day, again he came and sat for the discourse by Bhaktisiddhanta. And again, he got so dumbfounded, he became so nervous that he just could not speak the questions. And third day, ultimately, after the whole discourse, he went and surrendered flat, a full dandavat, at the lotus feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this Swami, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, again initiated him, made him a sannyasi, Adikeshwar Swami, who was a Mayavadi, but because of the beautiful explanations and the power of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was converted into a Vaishnava sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also converted Prakashananda Saraswati in Banaras into a Vaishnava sannyasi. In scriptures also, there are so many different examples how the different devotees who were first Brahmavadis. There is a slight difference between Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. Brahmavadis are one who are attracted to the Brahma Jyoti. But Mayavadis are one who think that the Brahma Jyoti is the ultimate and that the form of the Lord is Maya. Brahmavadis, they like the Brahma Jyoti and they want to stay there and they are satisfied there. They don't want to go ahead. So there are many examples, just like Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, a transcendentalist from his birth, unaffected by the materialistic environment all around. When he walked out of the womb of his mother, when he was 13 years old, he came out of the womb of the mother and straight walked outside. So Vyasadeva, because he was concerned that if he is only Brahmavadi, he'll not enjoy the service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he should be attracted to the features of the Lord. So he told his disciples who went in the form of woodcutters and said that he recites these two shlokas so that he'll be attracted to the form of the Lord and he will come back to me and learn the Srimad Bhagavatam. The two shlokas that Vyasadeva chose, the first described the beautiful features of the Lord. Barha peedam natavara vapu kar barha peedam natavara vapu karnayo karnikaram bibradvasah kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam randhran venur adhara sudaya puran gopavrindair vrindaranyam swapadaramanam pravishad geeta kirtihi. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnika flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of the dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan. Beautifying it with the marks of his footprints, he filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. The first verse gives a description of the beautiful form of the Lord and the beautiful activities of the Lord. What he was doing in Vrindavan as he entered the beautiful forests in the beautiful form. But the second verse he chose was to give a hope, because now the form is attracted. You know, he has given the description of the form. But now what if he thinks that, you know, how will I get attracted to the form? So he chose the second verse, which gives him, you know, hope that yes, he is very merciful and he will accept me. Aho bakiyam yanakala sut stanakala kutam jigjam sapayat abhyasadvi lebhe gatim dhatrimuchim utoyam kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to the she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. After hearing these two shlokas, Shukadeva Goswami felt attracted towards the form of the Lord and came back to Vyasadeva to learn the Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, the four Kumaras, which are the sons of Brahma, which were also transcendentalists, Brahmavadis, when they came to the abode of Vaikuntha to meet the Supreme Lord, there it is said that Asyaravinda Nayanasya Padaravinda Kinjal Kamikshatulasi Makarandavayu Antaragatasavivarena Chakaratesham Shanksho Mumaksharajusham Vapichitta Tanvo. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead entered the nostrils of those sages, they experienced a change in body and in mind. Even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding, the verses after this describes how they were just drinking the beautiful form of the Lord and meditating, they achieved the beautiful feature of the Lord in their heart. And they became personalists. From impersonalist, they became personalist, attracted to the supreme features of the Lord. They became the supreme devotees. The beautiful form of the Lord attracts everybody. Just like we have this beautiful animation series going on. Everybody, because everybody wants from their, just like it is said that worshipping Krishna is there in the heart. But when one sees the beautiful features or the beautiful leelas of the Lord and one gets reminded, the same love which is dormant in the heart becomes active. So it is our prerogative that we take utmost care, just as Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport, that not only by just Vedanta study in the Vedic literatures, but by devotional service. I'll just read the exact statement. Srila Prabhupada says that the fact is that no one can understand Krishna without rendering devotional service and without developing Krishna consciousness. So we hope and pray that Srila Radha Gopinath bestows us supreme intelligence to give us the intelligence to perform the devotional service as enunciated by Srila Prabhupada at their lotus feet and not get contaminated by the demonic impersonal philosophy propagated. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Can everybody has any comments or questions? Anybody? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Jai. Devotees are requested to please sit and glorify the Supreme Lord.